Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Jeff Erickson here. It is Veterans Day, Wednesday, November 11th. Thank you, everybody who served or family members of someone that served and is close to you. This is an important day for a lot of people, and we do appreciate all your service. And again, you're listening to this, so we appreciate you listening to our podcast as well. My co-host today is Adam Ronis from Fantasy Alarm. Known Adam for a pretty long time. We've been in the industry for a while. We do multiple sports. We both do football, baseball. Adam does basketball as well for Fantasy Alarm. You can catch him on SiriusXM Fantasy, of course. You can catch him on Twitter at Adam Ronis. And they have a new podcast he does at Alarm with Howard Bender called Andy Up. Believe it or not, it has to deal with sports betting. So, Adam, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good, and I appreciate the invite. And yes, you've been around a lot longer than me, and you know, I appreciate it. You know, someone like you kind of helped pave the way for me to be in the industry. So thanks to you for making sure this industry got to the point where it is now. And if you would have asked me, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, before I entered, I wouldn't have believed it. So I'm blessed to be able to make a living full time in this industry.
Amazing, and isn't it?
Yeah,
got the system beat.
Yeah. I mean, people don't believe it sometimes when I tell them, you know, working from home, covering fantasy sports. And it's an issue I've had in the past, actually, with girls that I've dated.
Yeah.
Well, Sunday I can't see you. I have to watch football all day for work. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, look, if you want to be good at this, you got to be involved. And I think that's there's a lot of people that want to be in this business. And I'm sure you get people asking you all the time. I had someone reach out to me recently on LinkedIn and asked me, hey, I see you've been in the business. What do you have to do? And I said, look, if you don't have experience, you got to write, you got to be on a podcast, do anything you can to get out there. And then I said, apply, maybe you get an internship or a freelance gig. And they kind of questioned me, like they expected to just automatically get a job like that. And it doesn't work like that. Like you really have to put in work. And it is time consuming if you want to be really good at this. And, you know, I know you're married with kids, so I don't know how you do it sometimes. I don't have that, not distraction, I don't have that pulling me away from things. So right. It must be difficult, especially you doing multiple sports. There's a lot of people that do only one sport, only football. And I don't know if they realize how easy they have it.
Right. Well, but it's funny. There's just this like timeline of life. When you're a teenager or a college kid or just out of college, you got all the time in the world. you know, and then you have, you get a girlfriend. Okay, well, now you have to think not just about yourself, but somebody else. Get a real full-time job. Okay, well, that's now, you know, and then get married, get kid, have kids, you know, everything pulls away from that. But you know what? You find ways, you manage, and you just have to, you have to be efficient. That's the real thing. And sometimes that's a struggle. That's a challenge. You know, I tend to be all over the place. It's kind of, you know, I wonder sometimes if, like, if it were more in vogue back then to test for any sort of attention deficit, would I have been diagnosed with that? Maybe. I don't know. But, or maybe I just need to just prioritize better too sometimes. But, you know, you get by. The tricky part for me is projection season for baseball while football is going on. That's the part for me where I feel the squeeze the most. But, you know, other than that, you know, it's, you know, it's busy. And when I was younger, I did more. I could sleep less and I took on more responsibilities. You know, fortunately, RotoWire is a little bit more mature of a company and I don't do as much as I did in the past. I don't think I'd be capable of doing that. You know, at some point, the candle burns a little too thin on both ends.
Well, yeah, that's true. And, you know, but you still are doing daily radio shows, podcasts, projections, and you do multiple sports. I guess I think for me, it's where DFS has played such a big factor. Oh, yeah. And I cover DFS basketball for Fantasy Alarm. So, you know, we got a little bit of a break, but basketball is starting December 22nd. And that's around the time I also start doing my baseball prep. Maybe I have to start doing it now. That's the one good thing with now. We only have football going on. Whereas this period last year, I would have been engrossed in basketball. But I still have to start preparing for hoops. Although I don't do as much season long leagues for hoops, maybe one or two. And a lot of that is the timing. You know, basketball tends to start mid-October, and at that point, baseball's just finishing, and, you know, I'm usually always grinding out to the end, whether I'm in it or not, right. And then football's in mid-season, and you turn around, oh, basketball starts in 2 weeks. That's how I usually am, and I don't have a lot of time to prepare for that.
I usually only have one season-long hoops league, but I'm going to do Raz Jam. That's just starting up this year. So that's going to add a second one. It's good because one's a head-to-head points league. The other one is a – in the Raz Jam is going to be categorical, the old school, what the proper way of doing hoops. So I'm excited about that, but I might be out of my depth. I'm going to have to use our tools, lean on those heavily. Let's start – yeah, and I want to get back to how you got in the business a little bit later, but I want to start with this week. There's a lot of news people are looking to get caught up on. First thing is Christian McCaffrey. Probably not going to play this week. Matt Rhule pretty much came out and said that today. The question for me is, with this shoulder injury, they've been very circumspect about the full nature of it, not allowing him to really get access to the media, or access the media getting access to him, I should say, because he's probably not chomping at the bit to tell everybody about his shoulder. But what do you think about him? Like, if you're in a league and you know you're trying to make a push for the playoffs, do you try to trade him now and, you know, try to get what you can for him, or do you think it's maybe 1 week and hang on?
Yeah, see, this is tough because we just don't know. And I think if you are in a position where you're fighting for a playoff spot, you might be best off trading him. It's funny because in one of my leagues where I'm doing well and I have some depth, I've been looking to try and make a deal. And I was about to offer a trade for McCaffrey, but I wanted to wait and see what the news is. And with this news, I'm probably not going to do it. Now, that team is battling for a playoff spot. Like, I think they have to move them because they need wins this week. And I think sometimes people lose sight of that. You don't want to give up that star-studded player like Christian McCaffrey, but you have to be realistic of where you are right now. And if you're sitting there with you know, a 4-5 record or 3-6, you can't think about 2 weeks. You need a W this week, depending on the context of your league rules. You know, total points sometimes account for playoff spots. That's something that I think needs to be done. I've talked about it for years, and still there's a lot of pushback on that. You know, I know the FSGA does top three records, then next three teams with the most points. I like that, whether it's 4-2. I think that needs to be done. I don't know why it's not more popular. I know you play in the high-stakes leagues like the NFFC, and they are more points-oriented as well. I'm not trying to diminish record, but I think total points need to be a factor in the playoff races. I see so many leagues where there's teams with a lot of points have a losing record. It's just not fair. But yeah, I think you have to be realistic of where you are. And now if you're a team that's 7-2, you're in good shape. Yeah, send an offer for Christian McCaffrey. Now you got to understand there could be risk because this could be a more serious injury. Now it keeps changing minute by minute. I think I just saw something come out that Matt Rhule said he's more day to day than week to week. But it's just we don't know at this point. But yeah, I think if you want to take a shot, if you have a good record and you can afford to put him on your roster knowing that you're going to make the playoffs, I think, yeah, you could take a shot, because we saw him come back last week and we saw what he did. I mean, that is a huge difference maker, and there's not many of those players right now at the running back position.
Yeah, and as serviceable as Mike Davis was, you could tell the difference. And the funny thing is, they didn't really treat McCaffrey with kid gloves. You know, he got almost all the carries. Samuel jumped in, got a few. Davis, I think, only had one carry. But McCaffrey got a lot of work, and now we'll see what happens. And I think you're absolutely right. It's kind of where you are right now. If you've got that 7-2, 8-1 team, maybe that's the type of team that trades for him, and then you can have that juggernaut in the playoffs.
Yeah, and with Mike Davis too, you know, he was great the first few weeks, but I don't know what happened, why his role in the passing game diminished. I remember that Thursday night game against Atlanta. I'm like, why aren't they passing him the football? I know Curtis Samuel's more involved now. I don't know if that was a factor. Now, we did see Davis catch 5 passes last week. But like you said, only 1 carry on the ground. So either way, I mean, the running back position is really rough this week. We have a lot of question marks. We don't know who's going to play as of right now. So even with that tough matchup against Tampa Bay, who's been excellent against the run, you got to figure hopefully they're smart and they get him involved in the passing game more this week. And, you know, we've seen games where he's caught, you know, 5 to 9 passes. And that's what you're hoping for this week with him against Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And that week 2 game where they played Tampa Bay, he came in for McCaffrey, played 24 snaps, 8 targets. Now, granted, they're in catch-up mode, and that had a lot to do with it. But still, that part is encouraging. The offense has evolved since then, and that's the tricky part. Carolina, I mean, I think it's a good offense. Joe Brady is a great coordinator, but you know, it's aggravating. DJ Moore was very thinly involved last week, and despite 49 passing attempts for Bridgewater, I think Moore had 3 or 4 of them. Davis did get 6 targets last week against the Chiefs, so he's still involved in the passing game. I suspect he's a pretty good start this week, even with the bad matchup.
Oh, yeah, you're pretty much going to have to start him. I mean, you're going to rank him right around a RB1. I mean, we still, again, have a lot of question marks of some players we don't know where they're playing, which kind of sucks about doing rankings early, but everyone wants them. I always tell everyone, look, this is fluid, and I'm sure you deal with this too. I don't understand why people are in a rush to get their lineup questions answered on Wednesday and Thursday, unless you have a player involved in the Thursday game. I don't know, but this has been something for me throughout life. When I have to make an important decision, not that fantasy football is the most important thing. It is for us and for me, at least. But I want the most information possible. We have very little information on Wednesday and Thursdays. We have to get through the practice week. So I know people are anxious and maybe they feel like, oh, well, I can't get a hold of you on Sunday. But, you know, the rankings are going to be updated up until kickoff. So you got to be patient when you're trying to get your start sit questions answered, because we just don't have a lot of information right now.
Right, exactly. And my value meter always comes out on Tuesday night, and I always want people like, oh, I'm on the East Coast, can't you get it earlier? No, I can't. And I'm going to update my rankings too, but I mean, I could do a thinner set of rankings, I suppose, with fewer comments, but that's also not as helpful. But anyways, I won't complain too much because, again, I'm doing fantasy sports for a living. So, but yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I have Davis at 12 this week among running.
So do I. In PPR?
Yep.
Yeah, so do I.
So I even said there's about 12 running backs I trust this week. And after that, I think it gets pretty shaky. It might be 11, though, because Antonio Gibson just came out today, missed practice with a shoulder injury. He only had 9 touches last week. I just think it was kind of a Giants one-off, or at least I did. And now I'm thinking, well, that shoulder probably had something to do with that. I thought it was going to be bounce-back week against the Lions. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I have a lot of Antonio Gibson, so I hate seeing this, so I'm hoping it's not too bad. I think part of it last week, too, is they were playing from behind, so they used a lot of J.D. McKissic, who obviously has been a big ad for people that have been using him in PPR formats. I've seen a lot of people pipping him out as a pickup this week. I don't know about you, but in most of my leagues, he's already on a roster.
Yeah.
So I wish
I were in those leagues where he's.
Yeah. No, but I kind of find that challenging sometimes. Do you? Because I play in a lot of deep leagues too. I play in a lot of leagues like my home league that I'm the commissioner. I add an extra flex spot. We do a local league here called the GST League, the Granite Street Tavern, which Chris Vaccaro is an NFFC Hall of Famer. He co-owns that bar, and we have like two leagues of 12, and there's industry people in it, high stakes players. And in that league too, I added the extra flex this year. So two running backs, three receivers, two flex, a tight end, a quarterback. So I play in a lot of deep formats, but I also have to, sometimes we have to understand that we're catering to a wide range of audience. There's 10 team leagues, there's 12. And sometimes it can be difficult because you see the percentages and McKissick is out there in some leagues, but I know in my leagues, he's been gone for weeks.
Yeah. And I always think those percentages are kind of junk anyhow, because there's a lot of public leagues that, you know, they're dead. They're not, you know, being used. For instance, RotoWire Stake League, we do our auctioning on ESPN, but then we actually run it elsewhere because of the position requirements and some other things. There's no pickups in that league. There's no moves on that. So a guy like McKissick is not owned there, and you know it doesn't count. But yet it counts towards their percentage owned. And things like that happen all the time. And same thing with dead guys. Well, why is he still available? You know, why is he still owned in 25% and active in 5%? Well, it's because we don't run anything on there anymore. But, you know, that happens. So you got to take those percentages with a grain of salt.
No, that's true. That's a good point. There are a lot of dead teams in that, and it can be misleading. But I know people like to use that for their waiver wire pieces. But in competitive leagues, a lot of these guys are gone.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see for that. Good news coming out of Philly. Miles Sanders was in pads at practice today. I ranked him as if he was going to play and get his full complement of work. I thought he was close prior to the bye. So I've got him at 5 this week. He's in my circle of trust. What say you?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. I actually have him 6, but he might move up. But I'm very confident in him. I think this Philadelphia offense is starting to play better. They're starting to get healthy. We saw Dallas Goedert back before the bye. Jalen Reagor, who scored a touchdown. Fulgham has been excellent. Yep. Wentz has been very shaky, no question about it. But he's running, and he's producing fantasy numbers. And, you know, I made the mistake of dropping him earlier in the year. I had one team that was 0-3 in the NFFC online championship, and he was playing poorly. And, you know, at 0-3, it's like, all right, I have to do something here to change things. And if at that time it looked like a good move with everything that was happening in Philadelphia, now I wish I had him back.
Tell me you at least got Justin Herbert to replace him.
Oh, I did not. I did get Justin Herbert in a couple other leagues. I mean, that league's a mess. That team's a mess anyway. Yeah. And I've said this because I had Barkley, had the 2 pick and had Barkley. And I've always said, you can overcome injuries, even if you lose in your first round pick. It's a lot harder to do in a competitive league like the NFFC, where you have the 20 roster spots. It can still be done. I know in the Razz Bowl last year, I lost my first round pick and I still finished top 5 overall. And that's a NFFC setup without the kicker and defenses. But, you know, losing Barkley was rough. And then I had some guys get hurt. But I've always preached to everyone, you just never give up, no matter how bad. I had last year in FSGA, I was 0-4. I made the playoffs and won the championship.
Nice.
Part of it is because they rewarded the points. I was very high in points. So I looked at it and I said, I'm not out of this, and, you know, keep pushing. And even with the NFFC team that's was 0-3, it's 5-4 now, but I don't have enough points. That's the problem. But you just always have to fight it out. Don't give up. You never know. And especially in a crazy year like this with COVID and all these injuries, you get a couple of breaks, you add a free agent or two. Herbert's the perfect example of who you just cited. I mean, I didn't get any of the elite quarterbacks this year, and I'm still looking back and trying to figure out, did I mess up? Because I still think you can win leagues with the lesser quarterbacks, but the Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott before he got hurt, it's such a huge advantage to have those guys this year, and I didn't do it. I've always been someone that waits on the quarterback. And my teams are still good, but I'm not having the year that I had last year. Like last year, I had 13 leagues, 12 teams made the playoffs. I had a great year. This year, I got 4-5, 5-4 teams. And I'm trying to figure out if it's due to me not having that elite quarterback. I still think you can stream successfully, but just those guys at the top, just Josh Allen, all those guys, I don't have any of them.
I do have a lot of Wilson. I had one league with Dak, and that was terrible, and that team's in trouble now. But, you know, that's the thing. You have them, and then you lose them. It really stinks. It's harder to kind of replace them there. I'm in a super flex league where I have Wilson and Kyler. And
oh, jeez, man, you must be crushing.
Oh, my God, it's so much fun. And I have DK Metcalf to go with it, too. So it's beautiful. But, yeah, we always like to talk about our best teams. But, yeah, I have another team, though. It was like 2 weeks ago. It was 2-5, but first in points. It's like, okay, all right. I'll just keep grinding, and hopefully I'll get there in the playoffs on points. But, yeah, that's aggravating when that happens. Also aggravating is if you're a Joe Mixon owner, did not practice today. At least he worked out on the side. But I had Stefania Bell on our show today talking about his injury. And, you know, he's got a midfoot sprain. I'm very pessimistic about this week. And I'm kind of apprehensive about the rest of the season.
Yeah, I actually thought he would be back. And I also do my rankings on Tuesday. And I put him in there originally. Yeah. So looks like I might have to take him out and put Gio Bernard back in. So, you know, I figured after the bye he might be fine, but it seems like they haven't really, unless I missed it, did they really give details on exactly what the foot issue is?
I think it's a midfoot sprain. That's what, but yeah, they've been very circumspect about it. You know, the thing is, I put him at 19, so I wasn't full steam ahead with him like I was with Sanders, just because of the nature of the injury. He's handling his rehab work, but I want certainty. I'd rather he just sit out this week. I have, you know, and I think every league where I have Mixon, I have Gio also. So just give me Gio. I'll deal with it. You know, it's not the same thing. Against Pittsburgh, it's not a great matchup, but it puts him in the top 15 at least. Whereas, you know, if it's a timeshare and he's like back but not really, it just ruins both guys.
Yeah, especially in this matchup against Pittsburgh, who's been really good against the run this year. We have seen some cracks at times, but, you know, Dobbins had 113 yards against them.
Yeah.
Sanders had a good game, but it really came on one run. 74 of the 80 yards came on that one big run.
Right.
So it's not a matchup that you feel good about. It would be, like you said, if Mixon's out, at least you know Gio's, he's going to get his 15 carries. They might only go for 45 yards. So what you hope for, 5, 6, 7 receptions, and somehow he finds the end zone.
That's right. That's right. I want to talk Cleveland Browns next, but before that, quick note from our friends at Prop Swap. I think I might have butchered it and called it Pro Swap before. It is Prop Swap. Smart sports bettors always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet, and that's why smart bettors use Prop Swap. You can always find the best odds on Prop Swap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Prop Swap sellers are always willing to negotiate. We all know bookies never will. And for a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash. Just use the promo code ROTO500. That's promo code ROTO500, and Prop Swap will match your first deposit up to $500. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the Prop Swap app. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Adam Ronis from Fantasy Alarm. Adam, we might get Nick Chubb back this week. I think they said they're going to give us a decision on Friday, but they're encouraged by the work so far.
Yeah, I expect him to play. I did see the same thing about Friday. And look, Chubb is, to me, one of the top running backs in the NFL. I didn't get him anywhere this year. He wasn't really a target for me. He would have to fall in the right place. You know, I was worried a little bit about Kareem Hunt cutting into the workload, but I did have a lot of Nick Chubb on my teams last year, and it was great. I mean, this guy is just explosive. He breaks big plays, and this is a great matchup this week against the Texans. They've been getting gashed by the run. They've allowed the third most fantasy points to the position. Remember the guy Clyde Edwards-Helaire? He had 138 yards rushing against them in week one. I don't know if he's had that total since, but that's another story. And we saw Robinson get 99 yards and a touchdown last week. So, yeah, if Nick Chubb's in there, you feel good about him. And I'm sure most of the year when Chubb and Hunt were active, you had Chubb as an RB1 and Hunt as an RB2 and kind of have it the same way this week.
Yeah, I put him tentatively at 26, wondering if maybe the first game back he's a little limited. I kind of like reverse it where I think like Hunt's the RB1 and Chubb's the RB2. But we'll see how that, you know, how active he is the next couple of days of practice. But, Now, again, another running back uncertainty problem. We look at that all across the place. What are you doing with the Rams running backs this week? Darrell Henderson had the thigh before, but they said he probably wouldn't miss any time. Now he's had a week off. Pretty good matchup against Seattle, although I think you're going to pass all over him. But still, I think he benefits a little bit even from that, too.
Yeah, I have Henderson ranked the highest. That is the guy they've been going to. And with the bye week, it sounds like he's not going to miss any time. We do see Malcolm Brown occasionally get that goal line carry, but they're leaning on Henderson. You know, I thought we'd see more Cam Akers. He was a guy that I drafted in a couple of leagues. I've held on to him. Again, in these deeper formats, it's hard to cut a running back. And it's easy to say. Now, again, team context, everything. 3-6, 4-5. You don't have time to wait. You can get rid of them. If you are in playoff contention, have a good record, you could hold on. Because as we've seen, and this is the time of the year too, if you haven't done it already, you want, to me, as many running backs on the bench as you can have, because it takes one injury and all of a sudden, boom, you got a RB1, high RB2. We've seen it with Gio Bernard, Boston Scott, Duke Johnson last week. So all it takes is one. And, you know, Akers, it might be a little bit more difficult, because if something happened to Henderson, it'd probably be him and Malcolm Brown. And I don't know, maybe there's something to Sean McVay just not having confidence in these rookies. We saw it last year with Henderson. He was barely involved. Yeah. Now he's not afraid to go to him. And with Akers, I know he got hurt and he didn't look great in that first game, but he said a few weeks ago, we're going to get him more involved. And then I think he played, what, one or two snaps in that game the week after he said it?
The Niners game. Oh, that was a disaster. Yeah.
So I know Akers has been a source of frustration for many people, and I have been holding on to him in my leagues, because a lot of those leagues are 18 to 20 roster spots. And as you know, the waiver wire is really thin. And I know exactly what would happen. I'd drop Akers, and then the next week he would get a bigger role because an injury happened.
And how many times do we see rookie running backs have big weeks after their bye? It's happened a lot. It happened with Swift, happened with Dobbins. You could see it happen with Akers. I mean, the talent's there.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, he was behind a bad offensive line of Florida State and just broke a lot of big plays, but it just hasn't happened for him this year. And it could happen this week, but there's no way you can count on that. I mean, there's no indication for us to believe, especially if Henderson is healthy, that they're going to go in that direction.
Right. And, you know, you look at, like, and you just, you know, we'll see. I mean, if Henderson doesn't practice somehow, okay, we'll throw him in. I've seen Akers getting picked up in a lot of my leagues, too. I mean, you know, the ones that were a little thinner. Yeah, I think people have been taking flyers on him, and well, they should. And, you know, this is your last chance, like in a dynasty, to kind of buy him on the cheap, because, you know, at some point, you know, he's going to get that chance. And, you know, right now you could probably get him for a reasonable price. Although, unless, of course, the guy is a zealot about Akers in the first place, and then, okay, never mind. But, yeah, try to get it before that first sign of him doing a whole lot.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, you always, especially in the competitive leagues, you have to be ahead. You know, you can't wait until what you saw from Jacoby Myers the other night. Oh, yeah, no, he's gone. All right. Yep. You needed to see that first week. And, you know, I saw that and I picked him up in a couple leagues and had him in the starting lineup for a few leagues last week. There was a couple I had him on the bench because I had better options, but there were a few with bye week issues and injuries. I had to play him, and to see him go off like that was great.
Yeah, for sure. And he's still catching passes. I think he just caught another one right now. You do rankings for Fantasy Alarm. I do them for RotoWire, and you said you come out on Tuesday. Tell me a little bit more about the process. Like, when you go about looking at some of these battles, or when you're looking for the week, you know, how do you go about doing your rankings? Let's just go that way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of it is based on volume and role. I mean, the running backs are very tough this week because we just have so many question marks. So with the running backs, a lot of it is going to be based on workload. You know, you could say what you want about a guy like Duke Johnson. I know there are some people who feel he should get an opportunity to get a bigger workload. It's never happened. Other people think, no, he's not good enough. There's a reason why teams are not giving him that workload. And look, he wasn't impressive last week, 16 carries, 41 yards, but he did find the end zone and he did catch a few passes. So you could say what you want, but the volume is going to be there for him this week if David Johnson doesn't play due to the concussion. So to me, he's an RB2 because of the workload. And, you know, same thing like Chase Edmonds last week. I know people were kind of disappointed in Chase Edmonds. For me, watching that game, I don't understand why they just kept running him into the Miami Dolphins defense, which is very good. So all these weeks that you pair him with Kenyon Drake, He's involved in a passing game, catching 4, 5, 6 passes. Then you put him as the starter, and you clearly see it's not working. You know, give credit to a team like Buffalo last week who came out and said, we're not running the football. Seattle's weakness is the secondary. We're just going to pass all over you. Kansas City has done that a couple times this year. I don't understand why Arizona just kept running Chase Edmonds. It wasn't working. And you only give him 3 receptions for 18 yards. The week before, he had 7 for 87. We saw a game he had 5 for 56. So I don't understand why they were not getting him the ball in space in the passing game. But he had 28 touches. If I told you last week, hey, Chase Edmonds is going to get 28 touches this week, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to start him. So we knew he was going to get a big workload, didn't expect 28 touches. But so if a guy's getting volume, you got to put him pretty high. And that's why I have Duke Johnson there this week. With receivers, you know, I think a lot of times people get into the matchups and the shutdown corners. But if you're a top receiver, you're still going to be high for me. Like DK Metcalf. Metcalf has faced some tough corners this year, but you watch that guy play. I don't care who he's against at this point. He's a guy that can make your day 50-yard touchdown play. So, you know, he's going to be high. Like other weeks, you know, a guy like McLaurin this week, to me, is in a really good spot. He's another guy that's faced a lot of top corners this year. We've been concerned about the quarterback and Alex Smith checking down, but we saw him one big play last week. So he's top 10 for me this week. You know, a guy like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp move up because they're playing Seattle.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just the matchups come into play. But for the elite receivers, you know, they're going to be pretty high. Once you get outside of the top 15, then matchups come into play. Like Adam Thielen is lower for me than he has been in a while. Part of it is there's no volume in that Minnesota offense. If they're running the football successfully and they're ahead, they're not going to throw. It's pretty bad if you right. if you have Thielen and Jefferson right now, because you have to root for the Vikings to fall behind, not even 14-0, because they're still going to run. You want them to be down 20-0.
That's true. I'll say, I wonder if they get put to the test this week against the Bears. I mean, this is the first matchup in a while where it hasn't been a plus matchup. You know, the Bears did a really effective job shutting down Derrick Henry last week, although I kind of wonder if it's a Taylor Lewan missing sort of thing rather than the Bears. But regardless, it's not the Lions. It's not the Packers the week before. This is a tougher matchup. And I think that they may have to resort to throwing it. By the way, that is the path to the Bears beating Minnesota, because I don't think Cousins withstands it very well.
Yeah, no, no one has shut down Dalvin Cook. He's been ridiculous. But like you said, Bears have been a pretty solid run defense, limiting Henry. But yes, the offensive line has not been as good for Tennessee with some injuries. So I think this will be a close competitive game. I think the line's, 2.5? I think the last I saw. And it's a divisional game on the road for Minnesota. But it's just, to me, there's receivers that you feel really good about this week. Like, to me, you got to play Woods over him. Brandon Cooks, who has really been coming on the last few weeks since the coaching change, he's been heavily involved. So, yeah, I mean, you start.
What's interesting is Juju. You know, all of a sudden, he's starting to get the target volume again. And I like the matchup this week against Cincy, although, of course, Roethlisberger's status is a big determinant of this, too.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of similar to Stafford last week, so you would think he plays. But then again, he was next to Vance McDonald on the plane, locker room, so you're just kind of crossing your fingers, hoping that he can pass those protocols. Because if not, you're not going to feel good with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, even against the Bengals, who – I think the Bengals are going to keep this game close. I like what I've seen from them. I know you're a Bengals fan, but I took them. Who did they beat 2 weeks ago? Tennessee, right? Yeah, I took them that week getting the points. I didn't know if they would win, but I know it's a tough matchup. But I think Cincinnati's going to be competitive in this game. I like what I've seen from that offense.
Yeah, I do too. And, I'm very thankful I get to watch Joe Burrow every week. You know, we get to keep him for a few years at least. The Baltimore game was rough, but that's the downside possibility, because the Steelers' deep pass rush is pretty ridiculously good. No Devin Bush is a big deal for the Steelers, though. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Ravens were able to run the ball so effectively against them.
Yeah, and look, I think they're a good team. I thought before the year they would have a shot to come out of the AFC, but I'm still surprised they're undefeated. I knew last week Pittsburgh plays down to the level of competition 2 or 3 times a year. They just had these games and you go, how is this possible? It just happens. And I said last week, the first half would be don't be surprised if it's close, that Pittsburgh keeps Dallas in the game. I just can't believe that they stayed in the game that long. I had no doubt Pittsburgh was going to win that game, that Dallas was going to find a way to mess it up. Right. But they do that every year. And I think they're going to lose one of the next three games. I think they could lose this week. I really do. If not, I know they have Jacksonville. It'd be surprising to lose that. Then they have Baltimore Thanksgiving night. And Baltimore has a lot of question marks, but we know how those rivalry games are. But I think Pittsburgh definitely loses one of the next three.
Your lips to God's ears. It'd be just a shame if their perfect season was ruined by Ben not being able to play. Just a shame. Sorry. A little cynic in me there, but it's okay. A couple other guys and wide receivers that we talked about. You know, it's interesting. DeAndre Hopkins, 2 weeks in a row, is going to have a tough corner matchup. Usually we don't worry about that. But he kind of struggled against Xavien Howard last week, drew some PIs. This week, gets Tre'Davious White, who's actually pretty good too, but he doesn't necessarily shadow.
Yeah, and I think in the past too, he's had some good games against him. It's been weird with Hopkins because even the Dallas game, he was barely involved. He only had 2 for 73. Of course, he blows up against Seattle because everyone does. But yeah, it was kind of weird to see him have two down games in a row. But I don't have him anywhere this year, but to me, it's difficult to not rank that guy very high in this offense. You know, this should be a high scoring game. And even if he does have White on him a little bit, I got to think that they make a little bit more of an effort to get the ball to him. I don't know if they're going to run the ball as much as they did last week against Miami. I think they've been aggressive. They've been taking throws deep. Of course, Christian Kirk is the guy who has benefited. And have you just been steadily moving him up your rankings every week? I feel like he's kind of not getting respect a lot of weeks.
I have him at 20 this week.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I feel like I have to move him up, too. I think right now I have him at 31, and I feel that's too low.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. It's like I hope Arizona learned a lesson from their end game last week.
Oh, brutal, man.
They made the two completions to Kirk. The second one was a pretty big play, got him into field goal territory. And they ran Edmonds into the pile twice and then tried to do a little out thing just to get the first down. They played for the field goal with plenty of time left, too. It's like Tua's been moving the ball on you left and right. Why are you playing for a 49-yard field goal in the first place? Go for the touchdown.
Yeah, that burned me. I mean, I know parlays are not profitable, but I like to do them occasionally. And I had a 14 parlay. I had Buffalo getting 3 because I said on the radio last week that they were going to beat Seattle. I had the Saints getting 4.5. I loved that game. I was like, everyone, I knew I won that game when in the pregame show, they had everyone on the panel pick the Bucks. I was like, all right, this is easy. Yep. And I had the over on the Chargers Raiders game, and I had Arizona -4.5. And I was just like, oh, come on. When the game was tied and Arizona got the ball, I'm like, all right, just drive down the field, get the touchdown and hold Miami. And nope, that didn't happen. So yeah, I've not really been impressed with Kingsbury. With what he's done, considering what they have there and how great Kyler Murray has been this year, I don't know. There's something about Arizona that I don't
just
love.
A little off, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, the Detroit game. That should be an easy win. Maybe not an easy win, but it's a win.
Right. In that division, you have to win that game. In the NFC West, you have to get that W. That's a tough division.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, even the Miami game, I know Flores is a good coach. I think he does a lot of things right. And you could see that at the end of last year when they were playing hard. After that horrific start, they bounce back and, like, win 4 games at the end of the season. You know, the Eagles win where they're stripped of all this personnel and they're still playing hard. And then, of course, beating the Pats in Week 17 when the Pats really needed that win, you know, to get the bye and they couldn't get it. It changed the entire structure of the AFC playoffs. You know, I came away as like, okay, this guy can coach. And yeah, every once in a while I'll still do something that I don't like, but that's true with any coach. But even Tomlin, you know, like makes some crazy decisions from time to time. But generally, they get it. They're aggressive at the right time. They don't punt from plus position. They don't make these terrible decisions all the time. Whereas like Anthony Lynn's like the crown prince of bad time management. Kingsbury's kind of in that side of the ledger right now.
Yeah, and look, if they win that game, they go into first place after beating Seattle the previous week. But Miami, like you said, I do think they're on the right path. And defensively, they've played well. They've been benefiting from some turnovers for touchdowns, including early in that game against Murray. And they had the special teams touchdown 2 weeks ago. But if you look at Arizona, I mean, they've lost to the Lions, Panthers, again, who have been better. I agree. They're headed in the right direction.
They're smoked by the Panthers, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, these are losses that you kind of can't have. I mean, you lose to the Lions and the Dolphins at home in this division. Mm-hmm. And then you look at their wins. And, yeah, the Seattle win was great. But we know Seattle has major problems on defense. They beat the 49ers week one, Washington, the Jets, the Cowboys. With Kyler Murray, I mean, you expect this team to be a little bit better, and they got the Bills and the Seahawks the next 2 weeks, and it's a tough division. So a few weeks ago, I said I didn't really love Arizona, and then, of course, I bet the -4.5.
Of course. You know, and that happens. You're like, well, you saw how Tua looked against the Rams. You're like, okay, he's not ready yet. Well, guess what? The learning curve wasn't that steep after all. He climbed it pretty quickly. Tua looked like the real deal in that game.
Yeah, no, he did. We didn't really get to see him do anything the week before, right? Because it was all defense and special teams, and like you blinked and it was 28-7, and
that's right.
He didn't really need to do anything. So, but yeah, you know, with Kyler Murray and the way he's playing, look, it's hard to complain. They're 5-3, but those are games that you're going to look back at. Well, if we could have gotten that game, maybe we win the division, and it's going to be a battle. I guess they should get in the playoffs. Because the NFC East obviously is going to get one team. I'm not believing in the Bears. I mean, when they were 5-1, I couldn't believe it. And then you got Tampa and the Saints, who should probably get in. But that West is going to be a battle. It helps, I guess, that San Francisco is so banged up and is probably going to drop from the pack.
Yeah. I think the injuries have just taken all of its tolls. The Super Bowl hangover, it's real, folks, if you're the losing team in a Super Bowl. Before we talk anything more about Week 10, a quick note from BetMGM. Football is back, and new customers at BetMGM Sports can kick off Week 10 with a 100% deposit match, up to $500. Simply sign up and make a deposit with the bonus code ROTOWIRE to take advantage of this offer. There's never been a better time to get in on the action at BetMGM with parlay bonus payouts, live betting, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. Don't let 1 minute of the NFL season pass you by. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code ROTOWIRE to double your betting bankroll with a 100% deposit match up to $500. You must be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, Adams, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Adam Ronis, talking all things fantasy and Week 10. Adam, quickly, though, I want to talk a little bit how you got into the business in the first place. First time I crossed paths with you is when I was doing some stuff on Blog Talk Radio, and you also had the Fantasy Bonus with Adam Ronis. I think you were working for a newspaper in New York at the time.
That is correct. Yeah, I was working for Newsday. I worked for their City Edition and the Long Island Edition. So I always wanted to do radio. That was my passion. I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in 2003. Kevin Burkhart was one of my instructors. Oh, so. Wow. Yeah, it's been great to see how far he has gone. And I knew he was really talented, and he just took off, and he helped me along the way. You know, he actually, when he was working at WCBS 880 AM, he brought me in there to kind of listen to my demo and tell me what I needed to do. So I did some high school football radio pregame show, halftime postgame show hosting, controlling the board and all that. But I basically made no money between tolls and gas and everything. So I always wanted to do radio, but I started in sports writing. That was the first thing I did out of college. So I worked at Newsday, covered mostly high school sports, got to cover some pretty good players. I covered Marcus Stroman and Steven Matz. I was at a game. They faced each other. It was 1-0. There was about 35 major league scouts there.
Wow.
Got to cover some players that made the NBA, like Sebastian Telfair, Charlie Villanueva, I didn't see Lance Stevenson. He was after me. But so I got to cover some good high school sports and covered a little bit of pro sports. They would occasionally send me to do a sidebar for the Mets, Yankees, a Rangers practice, a Knicks practice. Then I worked at a paper in Florida, the Boca Raton News, and I covered high school sports and mostly FAU. At the time, Howard Schnellenberger was the coach of the team. We know him from the legendary Miami, Oklahoma teams. Sidney Green was the coach of the basketball team, and their baseball team was ranked top 25. So I was in Florida, and I just hated it. I grew up in New York. I'm used to the fast-paced life, right, and it was too laid back. So I said, all right, I need to get back to New York. And I got into the New York City Teaching Fellowship Program. And the reason why I did it was summers off, you know, all the perks of teaching. I loved kids, but I really didn't want to do it. And I started doing the master's for it. And I was in class for a week. I'm in class listening to the Mets game. I'm not paying attention. And my sister's a teacher. And she said, look, if you really don't want to do this, don't take a class in September and leave those kids. And I said, you're right. So I decided not to do it. I went back to Newsday. And then I started writing a fantasy football and baseball weekly column for Newsday. And from that, I think it was Paul Greco, Lenny Melnick reached out to me and they said, hey, do you want to have a show on Blog Talk Radio? I was like, okay. So I did an hour by myself and a half hour by myself. And Scott Engel heard it. So I wrote for Newsday. He used to work there. He's from Queens like me. He's like, hey, you know, I heard your stuff, seen your writing. You want to come contribute for Roto Experts? I'm like, sure. And started doing stuff for them. And then, you know, in 2010, when the Fantasy Channel on SiriusXM debuted, they asked me to do the show with Scott. I was actually not their first choice. They had someone else, and he bailed last minute, and they were kind of panicking. And Scott's like, oh, don't worry, I got the guy. And so I couldn't believe that I was doing the morning show. And, you know, because I was nobody back then. No one knew who I was. So I just looked at it as a great opportunity and took advantage of it. And it was kind of difficult at first because I was not allowing my personality to come out. I was so worried about what I was saying. I'm sure anyone who first starts going into radio or podcasting deals with that. It takes a little time to get comfortable. But we finally did. And, you know, I think the show went well with Scott. We're very different. We argued a lot. But I have to thank him for the opportunity for getting me in. And, you know, then worked at Roto Experts, FNTSY. I was with Scout Fantasy, and now I've been with Fantasy Alarm for 1 year.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, I love hearing, like, Lenny Melnick, Scott Engel. I mean, how many careers did they help launch? It's crazy how many people they've, you know, how many people they've helped out along the way. I remember when I first got started, Lenny was one of the first people like, hey, we love is Roto News back then. We love Roto News. You know, and I used to go to the newsstand at 4 a.m. and get all these out of town newspapers, he and Irwin. And they were both like so welcoming. And, you know, I love seeing that to this day. Both those guys are still helping people out.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, I owe a lot to Scott Engel because he's the one who brought me in and gave me the opportunity. And, you know, that's what a lot of people sometimes need is that chance. And once you get it, you got to take advantage of it and, you know, put in a lot of hard work. You know, I was still, when I first started doing the radio show, I was still working at Newsday. So I would do the radio show 7 to 11 a.m. in New York City, go back to Queens, then go out to Long Island and cover high school sports and get home 11:30 at night and then have to catch up on all the sports from the day to get ready for the radio show. And then, you know, wake up 4 or 5 a.m, take the train, bus into the city. So, you know, I think that's, and you know, this with people who have been in the business, you got to put in a lot of hard work to have success, and you're not going to get paid much, if at all, early on. And it's going to take time. And I understand some people have families and kids and they can't deal with it. I was fortunate enough that I didn't have that scenario where it was just me fending for myself, so I could afford to take a little bit of a financial hit early on. And, you know, I think there's a lot more opportunities now because you have podcasts and YouTube in so many ways. Now, I still feel there's probably not enough full-time jobs though in this industry, considering how successful fantasy is.
Yeah, and you know what, this 2020 hasn't helped. That's right. For sure. It's difficult. We have around 35 full-time employees. I forget the exact number right now, but it's been.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that high for you guys. Wow, yeah. I didn't realize that.
And then probably anywhere from 100 to 200 freelancers at any given moment, depending on how busy things are. But yeah, of course, when you have half seasons and no seasons, you know, it's tough. And plus, the industry's consolidated some too. I mean, you know, some doors have closed, some companies have been bought, others, you know, other whole industries have sprouted, like DFS. You know, now sports betting is becoming huge, and it's only going to get bigger as more states start to allow more betting and more online betting. you know, that's going to change things a lot too. But, you know, it's been wild. You know, you're right. You know, hopefully there'll be more full-time gigs out there because, you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard to do the hustle economy. And I see a lot of people in the industry doing that. And it's more than just an industry too. It's a community. You know, we all kind of have each other's backs a lot. At least a lot of people do. I feel like you mentioned Scott, you mentioned Lenny. Rick and Glenn have been fantastic.
Oh yeah, you know, out absolutely.
You know, there's so many people. John Hunt, the original, helped launch us by mentioning us in Baseball Weekly. You know, that sort of stuff goes a long way.
Yeah, no, Rick Wolf's been great. Actually, it's funny because, you know, obviously now I work with him, and I remember looking through my emails. This was back in 2003, right before I made that move to Florida. I had contacted him at Roto World looking for a gig, and he said that they had something, but it was paying like nothing. And I had already set on moving to Florida, so I was like, I guess I can't pursue it. And he's like, yeah, that job went to the two people who got that job were like Greg Rosenthal and Dr. A. Stephen Alexander. I was like, man, that could have been me. He's like, I think you did okay. It worked out well for you.
It did. It did. We'll close out with a news item. You mentioned Duke Johnson earlier. It looks like David Johnson's not going in the right direction for being able to play this week. Could be a big week of Duke Johnson. How high do you have him ranked?
Right now, I believe I have him at RB14. Again, just on volume alone. I know that there's some questions about can he handle that workload, but if he's going to get 12 to 15 touches like last week and then be involved in the passing game, and we didn't really see anyone else involved in that backfield. So,
right.
No, he's sitting on the waiver wire in some leagues, not a lot. I'm sure right. The leagues with 20 roster spots, the high stakes leagues, he's not out there, but he is available in some. So that will be a guy that people can look to pick up this week.
I did pick him up last week, you know, as kind of that last ditch sort of thing. When he didn't have the job, but now that he's got the job, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny for him. But I mean, it's not like an awesome spot against Cleveland. Running backs haven't really killed them, but you know, the volume, like you said, any catches, passes, he's a great route runner. He's got great hands. That's the thing I really like. So I'm bullish in that respect. We'll see, you know, but I like him too. I think he'll be in my top 20 this week. I'm maybe a couple spots lower, but that we're quibbling at this point in time. But just thought that'd be worth pointing out. So again, want to thank Adam for joining us. Catch him on Fantasy Alarm. You can catch him on SiriusXM. What times then are you on for the Fantasy Alarm shows on SiriusXM?
Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday night, 1 to 3 a.m. Eastern. So I know some people sleep during that time, so you could always hear it on demand. And then Thursday night, midnight to 2 a.m. Eastern, right after Thursday Night Football. And I occasionally fill in on the 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern show. I actually have done quite a few over the last few weeks with Jim Bowden taking some time off with baseball. So occasionally you can catch me on there with Howard Bender.
So you're kind of you're burning the midnight oil a lot then.
Oh yeah, I've been a night owl. That's the thing too. When they first told me, they said we're going to do a morning show. It's probably going to start at 7 a.m. Eastern. I was like, nah, I'm out. They go, well, it might be 8. I'm like, all right, that's better. Then they came back and they said, well, it's 7 a.m., so you're either in or out. Of course, I'm not going to say I'm out. That was a great opportunity to be on national radio, and I always wanted to do it. So I sucked it up and somehow wound up doing that morning show, I don't know, 6-7 years, because even after Roto Experts left, I still had a morning show with Dr. Roto on Scout.
That's right. I forgot about that pairing.
Here's the thing, and I've always said this, because once that microphone went on I awoke, came alive. It's just when you love what you do and you're passionate about it, you find a way to do something done. Like people always say, we're all busy, right? And they always say, I hate when girls tell me this because then I have nothing to say. Well, if you really care about something, you'll find time for it. It's kind of true in a way, but if you're passionate about something, you'll do it, whether it's 7 a.m., midnight, whatever it is, if you really like it and that's your opportunity, you're going to do it. So, yeah, I've always been a night owl my whole life. So that was a huge adjustment, but I love doing it. And then once the show ended and I've taken the subway home, I crashed on the subway.
There you go. Just don't sleep past your stop.
I did that once. Fortunately, it was the last stop and I only had to go back one stop.
So. Okay, that's good. That's good. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a ball.
I always appreciate it, Jeff. And again, thanks for everything that you've done in the industry. You made it possible for someone like me to come along and be able to make a career.
Ah, thanks. No problem. I just like other people laid the groundwork for me. So just pass it along. So thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to Prop Swap and BetMGM for sponsoring us. Coming up tomorrow, we got John McKechnie and Mario Puig. As always, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We do thank you very much for listening. Go patronize our sponsors. Go get a good prop swap going on right now. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.